tell them a new year, a new you. Come on. Hallelujah. Go ahead and take a seat after that. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Kevin. And thank you, Brother Billy. Amen. For being faithful. He's been faithfully drumming for 2 years. Amen. For longer than that, I think. Praise the Lord. And like I mentioned earlier, we are fasting, amen, and praying. And we're believing God for incredible things. And the way we start our year every year is that we want to clear our minds and clear our hearts. And so how do you look at life? See, and some of us look at life through a rear view mirror. And they have basically a rear view mirror type of living. But we need to change that so that we can have a forward view thinking. Amen. We need to change that because some of us live on the rear view mirror. Amen. Now, how many here are licensed drivers? Raise your hands. Amen. How many drive without a license? Don't raise your hand. See, I do. When driving, I look at my rear view mirror, right? And when I look at my rear view mirror, I look for things that maybe I'm worried about, right? Some of us may be worried about a police officer being behind you, amen? And you're like, oh, here comes a cop, slow down, amen, hallelujah, right? Or if your license is not up to par, amen, you get a real worried. And then you start driving, you see a police officer, you pull into a gas station real quick. You don't know what I'm talking about. Amen. And then you're worried, and we live this life on the rearview mirror. And a lot of times when people don't move forward, it's because they're stuck with the past. You see, sometimes we will not get the results that we need to see in 2020 because you keep looking at the rearview mirror of regret. Keep looking at the rearview mirror of worries, of expecting a repeat of 2019 to happen in 2020. And so we constantly live our lives in the rearview mirror. But if you're not careful, if you keep looking at the rearview mirror, you might crash what's in front of you. You might hit something that you're not supposed to be hitting. You see, when people have a forward view thinking, they have an excitement about them. They're intentional. Why? Because if you ever noticed about somebody young like Christian or Gabe or John or one of these young men, they're always looking and they're excited about their future. Why? Because you're young. They want, maybe they're going to go to college. Maybe they're going to go to a vocational training. Or maybe they're going to get married. Amen. Hello, somebody. Right? You know, and who knows, right? They're excited about their future. And they're very intentional about preparing for what's next. So when you have a forward view type of thinking, you're always excited about your future. You're not so focused on the past, but you're dedicated to what's ahead. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So when we're looking ahead at VO Conquer, we're looking and we're excited. I don't want to look at what's behind me. I get it. God did some great things. But according to scripture, we read, you know what? That's nothing compared to what I'm going to do in the future. Amen. You see, I'm about to do something new. Matter of fact, I've already begun. I've already started. Guess what? Turn to your neighbor, tell him he began because you're still in church. Hello, somebody.
Still in church.
Yes. God started the work in you. And you're here today because God began a good work inside of each and every one of us. So in order for have a forward view type of mentality, we need to start off really good. How many know that we need to start very strong, right? And the way we start Victory Outreach is that we start off with the prayer and fasting. Now, like I mentioned earlier, as soon as I mentioned fasting, you got hungry. Amen. You started thinking about the foods you can't eat. And you start thinking about the sacrifices that you would have to make. But after this message, I want to speak to you about the benefits of fasting that outweighs the hunger that you might have for a cheeseburger. Amen. Hello, right? And it'll outweigh the desire for anything that you delight in. The results of fasting is so powerful, which I want to break down to you today. If you're taking notes, I want you to know this is the reason why we fast. Number one is, write this down, is to help us fight against the devil. Fasting helps us fight against the enemy. Matter of fact, these are the things that I'll start with D, as his first name is the devil. Division, everybody say division. Discouragement, defeat, depression, and doubt. Now, if that describes 2019, guess who's behind that? You might experience all those things in 2019. You were divided in your family. You were discouraged in moving forward. You were defeated in your faith. You were depressed and oppressed. You were feeling full of doubt and fear and worry and anxiety. You see, those are all tools of the enemy that will try to detour you from moving forward. The devil will always try to get you off track. You see, if he can't stop you, he'll get you off track. And so the disciples were trying to figure out why they couldn't rebuke the devil. They were trying to do what Jesus did. Jesus rebuked the devil really easy. He prayed over the people, and demons were leaving people. And so now this one particular family brought their son to the disciples, and he brought them. He says, can you cast this demon out of this person? And so the disciples were just praying over them, and no demon was coming out. And then the Bible says in Matthew chapter 17, verse 21, this is what Jesus told the people, because he goes, what is the problem here? Because they were comparing Jesus with the people that were trying to cast out demons. He says, your disciples can't do what you do. They can't do what you do. There's a disconnect. There's a problem here. And then Jesus said, oh, you faithless generation, perverted generation. You know what he meant by that? He meant that you people that don't know God and are disconnected. Perverted means it's a reversing. You disconnect from God and connect to the world. You see, people were not engaged in the things of God. And he said to the disciples, look, you need to refocus. And he says, and however, this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting. He told them, I need you to go to the next level and understand this world has a way of distracting us and taking us off course. But it says here, the way you get back on course is that you focus on God and begin to separate. Somebody say separate. Separate yourself unto the Lord. It helps us fight against the lies of the devil. It clears your mind from the opposition of the enemy. You'll begin to discern when it's the devil or when it's just somebody going through it. Amen. Hello, somebody, right? Somebody going through a season of their life and you're just, taking it personal. But it could be the enemy behind it all, trying to defeat you, trying to depress you, and trying to bring doubt inside of you. Why do we fast? It's because we want to fight against the devil effectively. Amen. Number two, God wants to give us a clear-cut vision and direction of our lives. And in the book of Acts, chapter 13, it talked about that. There was a group of people that were trying to find direction. How many here want to find God's will in your life? Raise your hand if that's you. You're in good company. Everybody wants to find God's will. Right? Usually people pray for God's will, like when you're asking God for a job. Is this the right job? Right? Or you're asking God for a spouse. Is he the right one? Or she the right one? Right? We pray those things. God, show me your will. Lord, what do you want me to do next? I want to see by show of hands, how many have ever prayed that? Lord, show me your will. Show me your will. Right? Those are awesome prayers. You're asking God to give you direction. You see, listen up. God always wants to speak to his people. He always wants to speak to you. You know that? The problem is that we're not listening. You see, God wants to speak to you, but the problem is we're distracted. He wants to speak to you, but you got a lot of noise in your life. You got a lot of activity, too much activity happening. God says, I need you to clear your mind. Because I want to speak to you about your life. He wants to give you direction in 2020. This is what God wants you to do in 2020. This word is very difficult. I know, I get it. It's called being intentional. God wants you to be intentional with every step you take. I'm intentional about every step I take in this church. I'm intentional with my personal life. I say, this is what I have to do to set myself up to have a better life or to fulfill God's call. I'm intentional with doing that. And these men in the Bible, in the book of Acts, were asking God for direction. And the Bible says in the Acts chapter 13, verse 2, it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, there it is, the Lord, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.
Yes, Lord.
It says, then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them on their way. See, they fasted and they prayed. That's one thing that you need to ask God. If you need to separate yourself, are you confused? Are you in the wilderness right now? Are you in the crossroads of your life? Are you trying to figure out things on your own without God? This is how to include God. You see, this is how to get God's attention when you're willing to sacrifice something to get a hold of Him. You see, Moses fasted and he received the Ten Commandments. Jesus fasted and he started his ministry. The Israelites fasted and they received miraculous victories in their life. I believe God wants to give each and every one of us victory like you've never experienced before. How many here in the house of God want to receive victory in your life? Well, you need to fast and separate yourself and believe God that He will give you that clear direction in your life. The third thing is this, and I love the third one, because we are Christians, that's why. And there's not an option. You think fasting is an option as a believer? Well, no, that brother's fasting. He's more spiritual than me, but I still got to have my cheeseburger. Amen. Hello, somebody. I get it, you know. And us in our church, we're fasting. The way we're fasting is that we're doing sun up and sun down. We're going to be praying every day, Monday to Friday, the discipleship homes. So we're going to be praying. I don't know if you mentioned that, but we're going to be praying every day from 6 to 7. You're welcome to join us. But we as believers of Jesus Christ, we believe that we all should fast. And somehow, some way. And Jesus said it too. He says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, he says, moreover, when you fast. It didn't say if, but when you feel like it, when it's hard for you. He says, when you fast. Do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. How many of you ever saw that? You know, I'm fasting right now. You know, just leave me alone. Amen. How dare you eat in front of me, right? They have all kinds of stuff, right? For they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. And this is the last thing. For surely I say to you, they have their reward. See, fasting should be a normal biblical response to an obedient, born-again believer. That's how we should. If you've been born again, saved, and you've been saved for a while, and you haven't fasted, you are missing out on the greatest experience you could ever have. And be careful, because if you're not careful, you'll start fasting to lose weight. And, I'm going to go on an Atkins diet. Oh, I'm not going to eat meat, or I'm only going to eat meat. That's the fast I have. And you're just trying to create a diet, but God doesn't want you to have a diet, but He wants you to die to yourself. Hello, somebody. You see, sometimes we want, I'm going to fast, but really, you're just trying to, you know, maybe make yourself look good as a show, or you're just trying, I'm going to lose weight. No, it's not about losing weight. It's about getting a hold of God. And if you're not careful, fasting should be, the fasting that we have should be something that we normally do because we're a believer and we don't want to do it as a show. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Why do we fast? Because it helps us fight against the devil. It gives us clear vision and direction because God says so. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell him because God says so. Amen. You know, and one of the quotes that I put up there, it says, it can be external practices without internal passion. And I believe that sometimes if you don't do a fasting, a separation right, it could be an external practice without internal passion. And don't do it because I'm telling you to do it. But do it because the Bible says to do it. Do it because the Word of God is challenging us to do it if you want to go to the next level. How many here want to go to the next level in their spiritual walk with God? You shout amen. Hallelujah. I praise the Lord. You see, the results of fasting is this. Number one, it's refocus. Number two, it's reignite. And number three, it'll renew. These are the three R's that I want to introduce to you of the results of your fasting. If you do it right, and you do it with right motives and intentions, you will see the right results. And the Bible describes it in Isaiah 58, verse 6. It talks about it. It says, Is this not the fast that I have chosen? This is basically God explaining to the Israelites, this is the kind of fast I'm asking you to do. To loose the bonds of the wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, so that you may break every yoke. Come on, somebody. It is not to share your bread with the hungry. Right? There you go. The motive again. And that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out. When you see the naked, that you cover them or not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning, and your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. That's a scripture that you should write down and requote over your life. Because in those three things are the three R's. Number one, refocus on what's important in your life. I believe fasting clears up your mind. It helps you refocus on what's important. That's why it says to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you will break every yoke. Now, the yokes, what does the yoke mean? The yoke means that it's something that's holding you down. Something that's captivating you from moving, what's called moving forward. You see, here, breaking yokes in our lives could be in the form of a relationship. It could be in the form of a job. It could be in the form of your situation. I don't know what your situation is, but I believe that when a person gets serious about serving God and takes it up another notch and begins to fast and pray, you begin to have what's called a refocus in your life. You begin to say, wait a minute, you're not important, not that important, that I would lose my fruit because of you. I'm losing my joy because of you. God begins to give you a plan in place and tells you it's time to refocus on what I called you to do. See, people lose their focus in life. And that's why they're so confused. And what in the beginning of the year, we separate ourselves. We get in there and begin to pray and get a hold of God. And God begins to clarify your mind. Even medically, it's proven that it does that clinically. It cleans your system. It gives your digestive system a break. Hello, somebody. Right? It clears up your mind from being so foggy. It clears up your thinking. It makes you clear on what you want to do in life. It helps you focus. And that's why it says it's to break the bonds. Those things that are holding you back, you need to focus on breaking those things and opening up your mind and say, wait a minute, those things are not that important. I need to focus on what's really important in your life. The second thing is to reignite your fire for God. How many know that we need to have a fire in our lives? You know, people take it for granted. The Bible says that we should be on fire. There's something that we need. There's no such thing as a dead Christian. If you're a born-again believer, you're on fire. Ask the person next to you, are you on fire? That's a good question. Are you on fire? And if I can put it this way, are you lit for the Lord? Amen. Hello. Are you lit for Jesus? Because this is how you can tell you're on fire. Is that when it's contagious. When everybody around you gets excited about you being there. You're like, let's go, let's do, let's pray. And then, you know, the person on fire always wants to pray. You ever notice that? Let's pray for our food. Let's pray for you. Are you sick? Well, let me pray for you. You got boogers? Let me pray. Right? You got a kid falling on it? Let's pray for the kid. If you're always looking for opportunities to pray, you're on fire. You're so excited about God's presence. You're so excited. You see, when you refocus, you also rekindle, you reignite the fire of God in your life. Some of us are missing the fire of God in your life. God wants to set you on fire. He wants to reignite your light before men. And it says here, then your light shall break forth like the morning. How many know that the morning time is the most beautiful time of the day? When you see that sunrise, you know what it declares to you and I? It declares, baby, we got a new day. We got a new season. We have another chance to get it right. It's a new day. It's a new day that you all have. It's because you are that fire in your family's life. Stay on fire. Stay lit for the Lord. Don't let your fire die out. And that's what fasting and prayer does. It ignites our fire. You become the morning light to those who are in darkness. Your fire will be so lit, man. People around you will get on fire. You touch somebody, they go, "Ooh, you're on fire." Amen. You're just so on fire that wherever you go, you bring the light. Come on, somebody. You, matter of fact, you're so on fire, you change the temperature of the room. Hello, somebody. You change the atmosphere because you're on fire. And you was depressed, but because you're on fire, you brought the joy in the room. Reignite. That's what God wants to do. He wants to reignite your fire. He wants to refocus you, reignite you. And the last thing is that he wants to renew you. Renew your love for God. That's what it says in Revelations. It says that you have lost your first love. And the last part of that verse, it says that the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. You know what that means? That you're so close to God that he has your back in everything that you do. Because when you're close to God, he's close to you. The Bible says, draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. Resist the devil, and he will flee. So when you draw near to God, he has your back. He'll cover you in every situation. Even when a situation goes bad, guys, check this out, guys. When a situation goes bad, and you get called from your baby's mama, and it tells you you got to leave the home, God has your back. When you get a call from somebody that says you got to now come out and support, you got to do this, and that, it's just the devil trying to what? Distract you. You see, God has, when you stay close to God, he'll have your back. Come on, son. He'll have your back. He'll take care of you.
Yes.
See, you got to remember, God is good even in bad situations. When you stay close to God, the Bible says you don't have to fear. Yea, do I walk through the shadow of darkness, of death, I shall fear no evil. Your rod and your staff comforts me. How many know that when we stay focused, we don't have to worry about our enemies. We don't have to worry about things in life because God has your back. I want you to slap three people and tell them God has your back. Come on, don't slap them. Don't slap them. Don't slap them. Don't slap them, please. I don't want to break up a fight. God has your back because he wants to renew. He wants to refocus what's important to you. He wants to reignite your fire for God. He wants to renew your love for him. In closing, prayer and fasting is a physical act that will release spiritual results. It's a spiritual act that will release spiritual results. Let me prove it to you. How many know that Moses was a man of God? That when the Bible says when they were in battle, he had to raise his hand. And as long as he had his hands up, the battle was winning. And so he had the men of God help him rise his hand up. And every time he did a physical thing, a spiritual act took place. There were angels that were sent to help fight the battle. You see, there's been men of God that did physical acts like Daniel. In the book of Daniel, there was a time of fasting. That's what we call the Daniel fast. He fasted 21 days. And when he was at 21 days, he was on his face crying out to God for a vision. He was asking God for direction and nothing happened. And then all of a sudden, Gabriel came in and gave him the good news. He told him, boy, God heard your prayer a long time ago, but because you prayed and fasted, Michael the archangel came and fought the battle over Persia. And because of that, the word came to you and I was able to speak to you because you fasted and prayed. A physical act brought a spiritual result. You see, there were three angels. I believe in angels.
Amen.
And I don't worship angels. I don't just, you know, worship. I worship Jesus only. Amen.
Amen.
But angels are used as ministers. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, they're ministers of fire. So they're there on your side. So we have Gabriel, which is the messenger. And then he's also an archangel, a messenger. We have Michael, the warring angel. He's your guardian angel. He's the one that's going to fight for you. And then we have also, and you remember this guy, Lucifer, the fallen angel. You see, you had all these angels, but Gabriel and Michael were there every time somebody did a physical act and believed God spiritually and said, God, you're going to come through for me. And when you find a person, listen up. This is my life. I've learned to do this ever since I've gotten saved. And I've seen results. What God did for me, He can do for you. When people take fasting and prayer casual, they become a casualty later. That's what usually begins to happen. Because you cannot take warfare casual. You see, when I read my Bible, let me give you this. See, people do this. I get it. I love you for it. It's great. You read the Bible for comfort. Oh, the Bible says in Psalms that you are my comforter. You are my joy. And your right hand is pleasure forevermore. Oh, that's beautiful. Isn't that beautiful? It's awesome. Oh, yeah. The Word of God is there to comfort you. It's great. But eventually, as a Christian, it's not just to comfort you. It's to give you bullets for your warfare. You don't get it. You got a gun that needs to get some bullets in. So when I look at my Bible, it's not something I do casual. It's something I do intentional. I get up every day and read my Bible. And I get in there because I know where I'm in. I'm in a warfare. So I use my Bible as a form of filling me up with ammunition so that I can fight against the devil. I don't take it casual. So when it comes to fasting, I do fast. I don't just, I'm fasting. No. I fast. I separate. I hold on to God. I cry out to Jesus. And when I do that, I don't do it for you. I don't do it for anybody. Because I want to refocus. I want to reignite. I want to ask God for direction. Because I know my life, and guess what? My kids, my family depend on me getting over God. I know I'm in a warfare. You see, I'm challenging you. That's why I spoke on that. You see, a new year, a new view. When you think about your life and you're still viewing it from the 2019, hello somebody. Think about that song, right? Come on somebody. I don't want to go back there, come on. Right, Victoria, I don't want to go back there, amen? Back in 1999, hello. Right? But a new view. God wants you to see things differently. He wants to see your children as women and men of God. That's how I look at my kids. You're a man of God. You're a woman of God. God's going to do something new in you. I look at myself, not as, see, you don't realize who I am. You know, sometimes you think, I don't deserve to be behind this pulpit. I don't deserve to be a pastor of the church. I don't deserve to be a husband to my wife. I don't deserve to be the father of my children. And I know that if it was me judging me, I would be cast to hell a long time ago. But by the grace of God, He saved my miserable life. He called me when I was young, a drug addict, lost. Burdened. In desperate need of an answer. The world had no answers for me. But thank God somebody believed. Somebody told me about His love. Because of that, I'm here today standing before you by the grace of God. I don't have it together by all means. I wish I had it all together. But these are the things that keep me together. It's the prayer and the fasting that helps me in my flaws, helps me with my shortcomings, helps me when I have a yoke in my life that I need to break.
It helps me when I'm struggling with my mouth, I'm struggling with my mind, I'm struggling with my heart. It helps me get past some things in my life of regret and depression. It breaks the darkness out of my life and brings light in the situation. It turns what the devil meant for harm for good. I've learned this battle. It is not easy to fight, but God has not left you as orphans. He taught you, and he said the victory always conquered. You are a warrior. You are fighters in the house.
I don't deserve to be here, but by the grace of God, I'm here. Don't look at life through the rearview mirrors of regret. Forward view thinking looks at life of what I need to do to make it better. In Isaiah 43 verse 18, it says, forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I'm about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you see it? Do you see it? You see, this year, 2020, it's a year of breakthrough. It's a year of new levels. See, you've been stuck at this level for a long time. But in order for you to get to the next level, as Jesus told the disciples, you couldn't cast this demon out because you have to reconnect back to me. You have to pray and fast to get closer to me so that you can resist the devil. See, there's devils in your life that's causing you to stop you from being the mom, the dad you need to be, the person, the Christian that you need to be. There's devils that are waiting for you back at home. You know that? There's demons waiting for you back at your room of depression. There's demons that are waiting for you back at your living room of oppression. There's demons waiting for you back with your children, your family. But how many know that? Let us be like those Christians that would come in and go to their situations. And like I said earlier, you will change the temperature of your house. Matter of fact, you will take all the stuff off your walls that speak about the devil and about the world, and you're going to put scriptures on your walls. You're going to put light against the wall. You're going to put Christian music on. You're going to change it around. You're going to turn it around.